Good evening.
Good evening.
I had the opportunity to meet, I know, many of you when you first arrived. First and foremost, I am Cindy Kellogg with the Denver Broncos Community Development Office, and I really appreciate you all taking the time to be here tonight in light of this amazingly lovely winter weather we have outside. So thank you for joining us. Our office has given a lot of reflection over the past year in particular to things that our community is facing right now, to adversity that our young people are having to overcome. And it really sparked a conversation internally that we wanted to invite you to join us in. And our hope coming out of this dialogue tonight is that this will just be a starting point, that we will frame for you an active program that we can bring to your kids that we can bring to your schools, to your Boys and Girls Clubs, to your athletic fields, courts, where you can really have honest conversations with each other moving forward, using sport as a platform to overcome some of the adversity that we are all facing in our community today. We have some extraordinary partners on the journey with us, and before I go any further, I wanted to introduce one of those partners, our friends over at Mile High United Way, under extraordinary leadership by President and CEO Christine Bonero.
Good evening to everybody. I first just have to start out, how cool is it to be in the Broncos locker room? I mean, how cool is this? And how cool is it that we live in a community that has a football team that says what this community is about character, and is about heart, and is about honest dialogue and conversation, and that the future is actually sitting in this room and in this panel. How cool is that? That's the community we get to live in. Mile High United Way, for those of you who might not know, is the very first United Way in the entire country. Because I think, 130 years ago, because I think that's who Coloradans are. That's who I think the Denver Broncos are. That's who I think all of you are and the partners are, that we can come together in a team at a time in the country when it's a little bit scary right now, when we have lost the ability to really look at each other and hear each other and talk to each other in a really honest way. And so that's what tonight's about. That's what Team Catch is about, the amazing partners that are standing behind us, but more importantly, those of you who came tonight to say, we care about this community, and united together, and Team Catch, we're going to have those conversations. Thank you all so much for being here. And can we just all give one huge cheer and round of applause to our Denver Broncos for this night?
So before we get started with our great panel discussion and our very esteemed moderator, I wanted to give you a little bit of feel for the programming and how we came to be here with this panel before we start. When we start, I will encourage any of you, as you feel the spirit moving you, to engage in the conversation, because that is our goal tonight, is to have some real conversation that hopefully will just be that spark plug that we all need moving forward to actively engage in some of the programming we're going to be able to bring to you moving forward. So some of the programs are already familiar to you. Some of them will be brand new, but all of them from this night forward in our minds will be part of our Denver Broncos Team Catch platform. So community advancement through character and heart. And in so doing, let me introduce you to our panelists. First and foremost, Derek McCoy, who has been an unbelievable captain for us in our work with True Man and Project PAVE. And I know many of you in this room have gone through some aspects of True Man or will go through True Man in your future's football landscape. But Derek McCoy has been with us since day one, and I think his perspective and his lens tonight is tremendous. So welcome, Derek. We have a graduate of the True Man program with us, Avery Rivers. I had the opportunity to visit with Avery when he came in tonight. He's been through 2 years of Futures and Project PAVE True Man, and I think his lens as a high school student now and what he's brought to that table will really be beneficial to us in that dialogue. And the voice of our young people cannot be underestimated, so I really want to echo that tonight and welcome the courage of Avery. Dee Dee Wilkerson, who is a lovely, lovely member of our Denver Broncos Boys and Girls Club, a tremendous leader for our young people over there. I've known Dee Dee for several years, and she is just a wonderful voice, again, echoing and underscoring the importance of our young people being able to use their voice for positive change. So thank you. I should have mentioned that our goal also moving forward is that we are able to bring this programming to all the different age groups in our community, so elementary schools as well. And I know we don't have a lot of elementary school representation here this evening, but I do want to underscore the importance of that programming for us as well. We've got a great, great partner in Playworks Colorado and the leadership of Andrea Woolley. Those of you who are not familiar with Playworks, it is a marvelous tool that is used in elementary schools today where we're through organized recess, overcoming issues of bullying, and really encouraging kids to talk to each other in positive manners and landscapes, and really developing their leadership on the recess field. So, Andrea, thank you. Our newest partner to the Team Catch programming this year will be in partnership with NFL. And it will be framed on our NFL character playbook, which we will be bringing to your schools, to Boys and Girls Clubs, through your sports participation moving forward after tonight. And we've had the wonderful opportunity to work with EverFi in our partnership, and they have developed the curriculum that your kids and you all kids will have access to through character playbook. And I'd like to welcome Evan Royster, who is critical in that development. And for our moderator this evening, I've had the opportunity to see Russell in our community since he joined the Denver Broncos organization. I have been amazed at how he articulates his thoughts, both in writing and the spoken word, with what he feels is going on in our community today, and how our young people can feel empowered to really stand up for themselves, to use their voices for positive change. There is no better person in our mind from our organization to help moderate this panel tonight and to give his own special perspective through his lens. So from our offensive line this evening, Russell Okun.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Wow, thank you. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you all for being here and just for being such a welcoming community to me. This is my first year in Denver as a Bronco, and I'm very excited about that and to just see...
He gets it.
You know, so to just see how welcoming the community can be and how hard you guys are, too. You guys are mean fans. You know, but nonetheless, very great people, and you guys have been very gracious in giving your time here tonight. And like Cindy mentioned, I think it's important for us to be very transparent about our conversation. I think real change happens when we do take our relationships into consideration and have real dialogue about our issues and talk and work things through. So today is a time that we can all share. We're not talking at you. We want to talk with you and really spend time here figuring out what's going on and how we see the issues and how we can make the issues better. There are plenty of partners up here who are doing incredible work, and I know the Broncos put them together as well as went seeking them out because we knew that together we can have a better world. So thank you guys again, and let's have a good time tonight. So I guess my first question, and I'd like to just for us to go down the panel and just answer this, and if anybody wants to like has a thought, just like raise your hand, or if you want to share in any way, don't be bashful in any way. But what do you think our biggest problems are with youth and young adults in our community today? What are our biggest problems? What are our biggest challenges with our youth and our young adults in our communities today? And let's start with you, Evan.
Okay. Honestly, I think this is going to sound a little strange coming from somebody who works from a technology company, but I think how much we rely on technology is a major issue. I don't think we take the time to educate ourselves and really go out and find the facts. I think we really scroll through the Facebook feed or the Twitter feed and see something and believe it. And I think that's a major problem because it really skews the thoughts of our youth. I know something that frustrates me beyond belief is when I go to a family dinner and my nephew is sitting there on the iPad and begging to play on the iPad. Yes. And it's so frustrating to me because it's like you're here with family. Enjoy that time and really get to know people. You know, that face-to-face interaction is so important. And, you know, I think our youth is just really missing a lot of that.
I think that's a perfect segue for what sort of our lens is, which is with the younger kids in elementary school. And one is that because they're so much more reliant on technology, there's less opportunities for them to learn the really important social-emotional skills that you learn from talking to somebody face-to-face. And you might say things to somebody over technology that you wouldn't. And so, you know, the opportunity to learn those social emotional skills are fewer, I think, than they were. And also the opportunities to be physically active and to develop a love of physical activity for the joy of it, not necessarily because you always want to win, but you understand that, one, it's fun, and two, it's really good for you. And so if you have opportunities to do that, I think it can really help you long term.
I think violence in our communities and gang-related violence, like, I feel like our young people is getting into gangs and is causing a lot of distraction from school, and, like, they're not getting really involved in our community, and it's, like, not safe anymore, and I feel like it's a big problem in our community.
I think that showing emotion, people think you're soft, and if we don't show our emotions, sometimes that leads to domestic violence or taking your own life. So I think talking about your emotions to older people and your parents or somebody that you trust, I just think that we need to encourage people and young adults to do that.
Absolutely. To piggyback what Didi and Avery have to say, I think the most pressing problem that I see is this limited idea of self that we give young people. It's the labeling. It's girls are weak and boys are strong. Well, girls are strong and boys are weak, and we both are weak and strong. This labeling, we put ourselves into these stereotypes where we really limit ourselves and our potential as a human, and that goes for boys and girls, and then it gets even more narrow when you talk about race. Unfortunately, a lot of what we see as people of color, male people of color in the media and in our society is, you know, I have to be a professional athlete or a thug or a rapper. And with this limited view of self, you're going to have violence in your community. So I really want to work to expand our views of self so that we can really humanize each other. And I think this same violence occurs through that stereotyping or labeling because we divide. It's us versus them. We need more stuff like this where we're really getting to understand each other as opposed to judging each other from a distance. And I look around this room tonight, and it's beautiful because I see people of all shapes, sizes, and colors. And this, to me, is a step towards unity that is really the cause of the division and really the technology as well. We dive into technology and away from each other. So thank you all so much for coming out tonight and joining together and putting the voices out in the air that, you know what, we're humans regardless of what we look like, and we can do this together if we make stuff like this happen intentionally.
Fantastic words there. You know, Didi, I like, you know, you were very specific, you know, about what's going on and what you see in the community. And I'd like to ask anybody else, is there anything specific in your own community, in your neighborhood, that you see as a challenge, that you see as an issue? And I'd love somebody to raise their hand if not, I don't want to pick on you, but I will. So let's start with this lady down in the front. What is something specific you've seen in your community?
I see the separation between kids and the adults, or like father and son, like the separation between them, because I know a lot of people that I'm friends with, they don't have their mother in their life, or they don't have their father in their life, so they feel like they can't trust adults, or they can't relate to adults, or they just, like, can't say anything to them because they feel like, what's the point if the adult that was supposed to be there for me isn't there for me? So what is there to say that an adult that I meet is going to stay there for me and be there for me. So I feel like that's a problem.
Wow. So a little bit about expectations and the division that comes from the lack of expectations as well, too. I know you had a comment right here.
Well, just to answer her, as a parent, I think it's a responsibility for us to make sure that we talk to our kids. We sometimes let it just go by, and we look at them and ask them how they're doing, how's their schoolwork, and that's it. We don't really talk about the personal things like what's going on in your life, who's picking on you at school, you know, how are you getting along with other kids, how are kids getting along with you? You know, these are the kind of conversations that kids today don't want to have with their parents for some reason. I don't know why that is, but we need to get that straightened out.
Anybody else have a quick comment they would like to share? All right. You guys aren't bashful at all.
So one of the problems that I see as an educator is that we lack diversity of teachers, and so there's not that ability to understand our students and what they're going through. So what happens is a lot of our students are sent into in-school suspension for doing some small things like not having a pencil. And so we need to have those cultural understanding, and we need to have the conversation like we're doing here in the schools as well. So that can make a change.
I love that. I love conversation. Conversation rules the nation. Y'all remember that? So let's talk a little bit more about actionable things and what that looks like. And by the way, you know, quick segue right here, but Evan was you're a former player.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about that journey and how you kind of got into this? I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. I think in a lot of terms, athletes have an amazing platform, and we all try to use it, but, you know, there tends to be a little bit of a separation as time goes along, and you kind of see who's really for real about the work. I'm very honored just to see another brother in our fraternity of the NFL who was doing that work. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you got into this and what your motivations were.
Sure. So I grew up in a family with three older brothers. You know, I was the youngest, obviously, and I got picked on a good bit. So I was a bit of a mama's boy. My mom was a teacher growing up. She was an educator. My wife is an educator now. And when I was playing, I always enjoyed doing things in the community. I always liked giving back because I felt like Russell said, I felt like I had a platform, like I could make a difference. And I think that's what really got me into it, is the fact that I could have an effect on these kids' lives. And when you're in that position, you actually get out into the community and you see the look on their faces and the fact that you actually really can make their day just by being there and just by spending some time with them. I think that's why I was so passionate about it while I was playing.
Right, and just so you guys know, there's an alarming rate of a lot of professional athletes who don't have fathers in the household either. You know, I'm definitely one, and you know, even seeing Derek here and you know what you're doing with True Man, it's fantastic. You know, so I'd like to ask two questions. You know, and I know I talked about some action goals here, but what could young people, and this is for Dee Dee and Avery, what could young people actually do to kind of face these challenges that we brought up? We've been talking about just the diversity of thought. We've been talking about the expectations between, you know, a parent and a child, or just even with adults. You know, what are some things that young people could actually do to kind of take the step forward?
I think young people, for example, me, like I've seen this happen in my community a lot. So at my Boys and Girls Club, I was in a program called Steps to Success, and we actually got to like have a say in like donating money in our community so we can like donate for a good change. So I think we should get involved in programs like that so we can actually like have a say and do in our community.
What about you, Avery?
When young people don't talk about their emotions, I think that they should talk to a trusted adult, because if that builds up later on in your life, you're going to do something or somebody's going to push you to, like they're going to push you and you're just going to snap and something bad's going to happen. So I think we should make more programs like Project PAVE to help us talk to trusted adults about our emotions and not hold them up.
That's a great point. I think especially a lot of men lack that ability to communicate. You know, so realizing at a young age for us to be able to talk through things and share how we feel without being judged immediately about it, it's fantastic. It really is.
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
To Avery's point, I think adults, we play a huge role in what young people can do. And I've been very blessed to get to work with the Futures program. And I was kind of nervous, worried, hesitant. I'm working with middle school boys. Are they going to dive into these conversations with me? Are they going to push back? Obviously, there's some pushback. But I was overwhelmed with how much engagement there was and how much excitement there was. It was like they didn't know they wanted this until they had it. And ultimately, they've got the message that I got as a young guy. That as guys, we work through things on our own, and unfortunately, that doesn't work for us. One of my fellow college alumni just took his life on Monday. He won the Heisman Trophy. So we often might look at a distance and think, guy won the Heisman Trophy, got drafted in the first round, probably has everything in order. Life is great for him. But he, too, picked up along the way that I can't talk to anybody about that because I'm a man. I need to deal with that on my own, when in actuality, he needed support. I need support. And to me, the shift that's happening in young people's life is going to happen more rapidly if we as men step up and say, look, we've taught each other as men how to do some really unhealthy things, to deny our emotions and to feminize those emotions and to devalue femininity in that process. So really, like, owning our humanity and showing that it's okay to our boys, and we'll actually heal these wounds in our family and our community just by building community within our family.
That's great. Yeah. Ooh, nice clap. Yeah.
So what? I'd like to add to that.
Okay, go ahead.
I can go talk to if Derek's in there. So somehow we need to get him the funding so he can go into the high school and get those young men as well, because like the girls were saying, some are from single parents, you know, where they don't know how to communicate, you know. So if Derek's there and his Project PAVE is there, they have someone to rally around and to show them and help them become those men and talk about and share those feelings, because men, you know, are taught to be men.
Right.
You're not taught to cry. You can't cry. You can't feel pain, you know. And I want, like, Avery is my son. I try to teach Avery it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel pain. That doesn't mean you're a weak young man. So I would love to try to help Derek get into the high school and get those kids and mentor them so they can be successful as well.
Right.
I just have to piggyback. There's a lot of guys that can do what I do with training. I'm looking at Josh Ford right there. There's other men and young men in this room. We just have to, like, start to synthesize this. So thank you for saying that.
And that's the point of today. The point of today is to have discussions like this and to build a foundation in order that we can scale in a real way. Because that's where the real power comes from, like, and us being able to talk, have dialogue, and understand what's working, how it's working. Because the truth is, money doesn't come until they can measure it and see that it works.
Mm.
You know, so big corporations don't give money unless they can say, okay, well, what are the results? How do I know this thing's working? And it takes time, and it's hard to be patient about that time, but it's a reality that we must live. But I'm thankful for guys like Derek and Avery for just kind of sharing your heart. But that in itself will lead to results, I believe. And that's what, you know, the Broncos have been so committed to. It's like, okay, well, we want to affect change. And so how do we do this? Mm-hmm. By setting this foundation. That way we can show it works. And the money will come, which that's what I believe. You know, but, I mean, Sure. Do you have a thought?
I think what you're doing is great, but what about for the young women in our community?
Who? I said, I think what you're doing is great, but what about the young women in our community who don't feel like they have anyone to talk to? Because mm-hmm. there is a lot of young women who think that, because women are set to a different standard than boys. Mm-hmm. They are expected to be the best at everything. And when a boy messes up, it's like, okay, he's right. a boy. Mm-hmm. Boys are going to be boys. But when a young woman does it, they look at them crazy. So mm-hmm. what about for the young women who need that kind of guidance?
We need this kind of programming for girls and young ladies as well, and that comes into the funding as well, because we know there's no shortage of the need, and when we're working with guys, we're addressing that. Yeah, there is a double standard. Guys get favored a lot in this society, and that needs to change. We can work on that as guys, but we do need to have these dialogues with young ladies as well, which is a goal of ours in time. So.
Go ahead, Didi. I know you have some thoughts.
For example, Ms. Conley here, she does a program at our Boys and Girls Club called Cherish, and she gets all the young women, young ladies at our Boys and Girls Club, and she teaches them how to be who they really are, and, like, it doesn't matter who you are, and you are beautiful, and, you know.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Before we get too far, because I think there's a lot of things that we can really talk about, I want to really ask, I guess this question is a little bit for Evan and Andrea and Derek as well. What skills and knowledge and support can peers and adults offer to young people, you know, in order to kind of support this, to address these community challenges? What are some things that, what sort of support do you kind of work with that we can really offer to really challenge what's going on in our communities? Evan or Andrea, you go first, please.
Sure. So I feel like I'm always going to be talking about play, but it's a really amazing tool, play and physical activity, for adults and youth to connect and to watch our coaches and adults at the school engage with kids at a young age in that type of setting. It really transforms the relationship that they have. And so, I mean, as a parent, as, you know, an older person who's wanting to connect with, you know, somebody who is younger and maybe looking for that connection, things simply as, like, let's just go be silly and play a game together and have that connection and then see what we can do together, you know, to help solve these other problems.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off that, I think we need to meet kids in their space a little more. It's really hard to bring them to our level and make them understand our conversations all the time. I think we need to kind of put ourselves more in their position and kind of try and have conversations from their point of view a little more. As adults, we say we've been through that. We know how to react to it. But at the same time, times have changed and kids are going through things these days that we never went through or what our parents never went through. So I think we really need to try and understand our kids more and our youth.
I wholeheartedly agree with Evan, meeting our young people where they're at. A colleague of mine who coordinates this program with me, Brent Adams. Brent, could you raise your hand? Brent is really adamant. Yeah, we could give him a round. Brent helped me to design this True Man curriculum and program, and he's really adamant about ongoing relationships. So not just meeting young people where they're at once, but continuing that relationship, it goes a long way. And also just really deeply listening to them. The best way that I can engage with a group of young men or young ladies is to ask questions that lead them to opening up about their story. And then I can share some stories about when I was their age that I connect with them on that level as well. But really kind of synthesizing that dialogue and making space to listen to them. If we can listen to our young people, we'll probably realize that, wow, there's a lot of wisdom that's in these hearts and minds of these young people if we just make space for that.
And Evan, you mentioned earlier a little bit just more about media, you know, and so do you think that media or social media kind of factors into these challenges in it being able to communicate, and can it be helpful as well?
Yeah, so one thing, well, we actually did something with the Eagles about 2 months ago, and Jordan Matthews, a receiver for the Eagles, actually said, you know, before you get on social media or you start paying attention to what other people are saying, be really confident in yourself. Right. I know when I came into the NFL, I was still a little unsure of who I was and what kind of player I was. And I started reading all the things people were saying on Twitter, and it really got to me. So I think we really need to understand who we are and really have confidence before you start looking at those things, because it's really toxic. It can infect your mind and really start to take away your confidence. So just really know who you are and be confident in that.
Go ahead.
I agree. Like, I feel like the media, it like doesn't tell the truth, and like it discourages kids. Like, it's just like drama and stuff, and I feel like it just hides the truth.
Mm-hmm. Just add one more thing. Media outlets have their loyalties. As kids, you probably don't recognize them right now, but as you get older, you'll start to recognize that media outlets do have their loyalties, and you need to understand them before you start to listen to everything they say. Mm. So.
Right. I think there are coalitions that own the media.
Yes.
Fox, CNN. But, you know, that are really trying to shift the attention of our young people and tell them who they are, you know, when somebody else is supposed to tell them who they are. Well, we have a question back here. What's your name? And that's wonderful. Who's that sitting next to you? That's your mother?
I'm very proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, you can't forget about him either. But, you know, that also brings up another question. You know, what sort of role do our parents play in really conversating with children about the media as well, too? Would you like to answer that? Yes. I told you I was going to start picking on people.
Household, we both do, so I'm not surprised at her. Because I see my daughters and the kind of pressure that they do experience through the media and through society of what it means to be a young woman, rather than the focus on appearance, a very smart, strong, talented, athletic girls or with young women. But I see even their peers that really struggle with those pressures and so forth.
Yeah, I'd love to, and that's wonderful. I think, one, you're a force. And that is wonderful that you've been able to kind of enable her to see herself in that way and to really challenge that thinking. You have another comment?
Which also brings up materialism. Kids nowadays think that if you don't have these shoes or if you don't have this polo and what Tommy and all those different name brands, and they're not going to be, like, they're not cool or whatever. They think that they're not okay. It's, like, not okay. They get bullied. They're not really, people don't really hang out with them, or they don't look up to them or make them popular or Facebook famous or things mm-hmm. like that.
Right, which is another reminder why it's so essential, you know, that, you know, parents, adults have conversations with young people. Is there anybody else who would like to talk a little bit more about, you know, any parents that would like to talk a little bit more about the conversation that they've had with their children and sort of the theme of those? I'd love to hear from some parents right now, some adults who've spoken to children about.
It's part of the conversation at the boys and girls. I have two girls, a 23 and a 19-year-old. It's something we have to talk about. Of course, they can't have their stuff at the dinner table, but we might have a conversation about it and how they're utilizing the social media. And at the Boys and Girls Club, it's something that in the teen center, everyday conversation about what might be appropriate, what's inappropriate. I'm an old man, so I don't use any of the social media, except there's a, even from my standpoint, we can use it in a positive way. Like, I can tell you that there'll be a picture by the end of the day tomorrow on our Facebook page of Dee Dee being on this panel and some of the kids here up front. So it can be used in a positive way, and I think you, in any kind of conversation with young people, you have to have a balanced approach. It can't be no, 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 no. You have to let them know that there's good and positive ways to utilize those tools and to communicate positive messages.
I know somebody else rose their hand. Okay.
So when you asked the question, what about parents, what came to my mind is with a lot of the members that we have at our club, mm-hmm. a lot of them come from a single parent home.
Right.
And if I'm a mother and I'm working two jobs just to keep a roof over my head, my conversation may not be about media. But if I'm able to bring my kid to the Boys and Girls Club, and there's ability for me to have that conversation in, or for my student or my club member to have that conversation with an adult who has went through some training and understands it, that makes it easier for me to be able to do what I need to do. And I think that's what the majority of our parents have to go through. So when we talk about parents, we also got to realize some of our parents are not able to have the conversations at that point. So we need to have avenues so that it can happen. So whether it's in the Boys and Girls Club, whether it's at schools, we got to make sure those avenues are there.
Right. So let's talk a little bit more about those avenues. What have you also seen in terms of that, those sort of conversations where parents who may not have the answers or adolescents looking for those answers? What have you kind of seen around that? Feel free to.
As a sports guy, as an old sports guy myself, I was fortunate to have coaches in my life that my dad wasn't around at a certain point. He hit the drugs and lost himself in that. But my coaches kind of stepped up and filled that void for me. But that's not all coaches. And I think we have to be intentional with who it is that is coaches, because some coaches are win-at-all-cost coaches and looking to send this less than 1% of us to the NFL, when in actuality we can be building character and healthy confidence in all the players. So I think that we have to get kind of engaged with the coaches, but also I think we need to hire coaches that are seeking to do the character development first, and then the win, that'll come possibly. Whatever with the win, that doesn't really matter as much as who these people are becoming.
Anybody else on the panel have any thoughts on that and some of the work you do and how that kind of associates with those conversations?
I do.
Sure.
I work in Aurora Public Schools, and where I work right now is for teen parents because there are girls out there, or guys, either or, that feel like they have to, I don't want to say do grown-up things, but they have sex. They may have sex out of wedlock, and a lot of the times they drop out. So what my program does is they allow the girls and the guys to go back to school to either get their GED or to get their high school diploma. They can bring their children to the center that I work at basically for free. Mm. As long as they're doing what they're supposed to, they can go to work or they can go to school. So again, that's just an outlet to let them know that even though this happened to you, you still can achieve, and you can still tell your story. I was 20 when I had Trey. So it was, I mean, it was still hard. I still work two jobs. He's 15 and his sister's 12. So my family is my support system. So not everybody has a bad support system when it is, you know, me and my family to have my back. You have an outlet. You always have an outlet. To me, it feels like you have an outlet. You may not think you can go to certain people or talk to certain people, but I feel like
if he's at the club and he doesn't feel like he can talk to his aunties, Rich is always there. He is a good person, and Derek, mm-hmm. and everybody else is there, so you always have somebody to talk to. You just have to be an advocate for yourself.
Right.
And open your mouth. Mm. So nobody knows what you're going through unless you, as a person, open your mouth. You can look sad, and somebody can say, hey, what's wrong with you? But if you don't open your mouth to say what's wrong with you, nobody can help you.
Mm. Those are powerful words. We have one more.
Over. So as for parents, if we just beat them, that could be an outlet for that child. If we just show that child kindness when that child comes to your home, that could be an outlet for that child, because they may not, you know, have that in their home. Just some little things that we can do for the children, you know, that are my kids' friends. I have two teenagers. And so there's a lot of kids that come over, especially my daughter, the girls. You know, like, oh, I want to talk about the girls. They always got something going on. Always got something going on. And so when they come over, you know, I just let them be themselves. I let the children, when they come over to my house, just be themselves. So as parents, you know, when your kids' friends come over, don't take it lightly when you share, you know, your food with them, when you share your home, or just a smile or a laugh, that could do something for that child. So just, I always want to deal with that, like those small little things that we do.
Yeah, that's wonderful, you know, because, you know, I think there's a certain moment, especially being on the football field, that I'm introduced to probably every play. You know, and in this situation, we all kind of come together. You know, and for those of you who play sports, it's called a huddle. You know, in that huddle, there's so many things that go on. You have correction that goes on in the huddle. Hey, man, like, or you messed up right there. We need you to be better. That's not allowed. You have encouragement that goes on the huddle. Hey, man, good play. Like, you can do better. Or great touchdown, great score. Looking forward to kind of seeing more. You have commands in the huddle. The quarterback gives the attention. You know, he commands the attention. He wants you to kind of lock in and focus. All these sorts of things that kind of come together to execute one play. And I believe that we are here for a collaborative effort. You know, and it's little things like that, like you mentioned, and just serving as an outlet. Things that you mentioned as well, too. And my last question tonight is, how can we individually create this culture of kindness, of servitude, you know, in our own way? How can we really visit that? And I'm going to start with the panel here first, and I'm going to probably pick maybe three people from the crowd or so to answer the question as well. How can we individually be able to serve our collective group and support one another? What are some actionable, real things that we can do, that you do? I'll start here with Evan and just work all the way down.
Okay, so I honestly think one thing that you can really do to make a change is just to really think about what your actions do to other people. What effect does that have on the other people around you? I really think that if you think, you know, if I say this to somebody, how is that going to make them feel? And not just the short-term effect, not just the immediate effect, but down the road, could that really break down somebody's confidence or lift them up? You know, I really think you need to think about the effect you're having on people with the words you say.
Yeah, I think that sort of basically agreeing with you, but be the role model, like model for, you know, the kids, sometimes even for your fellow adults, how to treat each other with kindness. And one thing that we have found effective is like redirection. So, you know, there's always sort of the quote-unquote the bad kid. And, you know, focusing on what's not working is going to continue what's not working. Mm-hmm. But finding what do they love and how can I give them the opportunity to really dive into that and be a leader inside of what it is they love and, you know, giving them those opportunities, I think, is another way that you do that.
That's good. Edie.
Just like the parents were saying, like reaching out and not only in your environment, but like in your community, like no matter who you are, like reach out and just like be kind to one another. Like, for example, like this Friday, we're having a big teen night and Rich said we are allowed to like bring friends, no matter if they're not signed up, like no matter who you are, you're welcome to the Boys and Girls Club. And so like just reach out and be kind to each other.
I think we should give back to our community by like talking to young adults about what they're going through and how they're doing in school, because I don't think, like, a lot of people might not have a father figure or might be in foster care and they don't have enough help in their community to talk to people. They might not feel comfortable, so I think we should make programs to help them feel comfortable and talk about their emotions.
I agree with everybody, kind of piggybacking from Miss Rivers on down the line. Just really being intentional about making steps to understand people of difference, not just smiling and saying hi and, you know, in passing, but really like getting to know somebody. People with Hillary Clinton sign in their yard, as difficult as this sounds, have a conversation that's civil with those people with Donald Trump sign in their yard. So really do what we can to humanize people that we might think are completely different than us. I think that's what we can do.
I'm going to ask two people from the crowd who haven't spoke. You know, so anybody who hasn't spoke, who has a thought, anything that they're doing in particular. Okay, my man here in the back. Dee Avery, what do you think?
So I think not like we were talking about how not every kid will go to an adult and talk about their problems. So like I know like every kid will have that one friend they vent to. So I mean like you should reach out to like one of your closest friends. Like everybody should have like a friend to talk to. Like, I don't know, like, speak to somebody your age because they will understand it because you both are young and you both kind of have the same mindsets. And so, like, they will understand you maybe better.
I think that, like what Dee Dee said, like, we should talk to our friends about our problems that we're having because we might be going through the same situation that they are. And their parents might not know about the situation, and if they might not feel safe about what their parents are going to think about it. So if they talk to our like coaches and the friends on the football field, I think, or in any sport, I think that it will help them long term about how they talk to people. If like they might piggyback on that and do ask their other friends about how they're doing and what situations they might have to talk about.
I love that. I love the idea of peer-to-peer mentoring. Anybody else who hasn't had an opportunity? Here, my man in the back, and then we'll go here, and then also in the back this way. Did you raise your hand over here? Okay, we'll make sure we get you too. Well, we're here for each other, right? All right. So yeah, go ahead. Well, he just talked about is how can you show yourself friendly to somebody, or even show that you want to kind of support them without being offensive. Is that correct? Did I answer that correctly? He asked for the question again. Yeah, go ahead, one more time.
Just that, how do these kids approach another friend that they recognize that they need something without overstepping the boundary?
Okay. And then the original question was pretty much, how do you, what are some actionable ways that you can really affect change in your community? What are some things that you do specifically to move us forward?
Share your story. I think that's one. You know, we all have different stories, and I think that the shortest distance between people and us is a story, and then we can see how much we have in common. Mm-hmm. Also, like, when I go places, my mindset is like, what if I'm the only? Like, that's what I think. Like, what if I'm the only? So what if I'm the only African American you've ever met? What if I'm the only athlete you ever met? The only buff you've ever met? And I take that guideline, and that's how I engage with people, and I really just try to represent, because a lot of people might see on the media, you know, they might see this certain particular group represented this way, you know, and I like to, really change that paradigm, and that's how I like to engage with people. But, you know, just, you know, yourself, just self-love, I guess. Love.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And then... Sorry, you raised your hand back over here?
I did.
Yes.
So I think as parents, we need to keep an open line of communication. I know listening to my daughter, my son, and their friends, so often, like, I know more, like, you know, I'm friends with their mom. We're at games. I listen to what the moms are saying. And the moms don't know anything about their children because they put such hard rules on them that these kids don't feel like they can be themselves. So their parents, in return, don't know anything about their child. But when they're at my house, you know, I go in my baby's rooms and I lay on the bed and I listen to them talk. And it's amazing, like, what I find out about them. And I'm like, well, your mom doesn't think that's how life is going. And, like, I tell my kids all the time, there's 8 hours out of the day that you guys are not with me, sometimes even more. You're at school. I can't control everything that you do, so I have to trust open line of communication that you're going to come back and tell me. I made plenty of mistakes. I was a mom at 16. Like, I'm not going to judge you for anything that you do. And I understand and realize that whatever you have in your mind to make happen, you're going to make it happen, regardless of what I try to tell you or make you do or not. So I think as parents, often we don't have that open communication with our kids for them to feel like we're somebody that they can trust and come to, and they're not going to be in trouble. Or, you know, they're not going to get in trouble or any of that. So I think keeping a line of communication is something that's really needed.
And the lady in the back?
Yeah. So I was just saying, like, going on to your communication point, I think, like, the biggest thing that, like, separates, like, the kindness situation we have in our community is, like, the stereotypes. Like, a lot of people are judged by, like, their stereotypes. And they can be completely opposite from that stereotype. And so at Project Page, we say things like, don't judge my young. And so basically what guys are saying is, like, don't be so judgmental to a person. I think that's, like, what's the biggest issue is just being, like, especially, like, in high school, like, is being so judgmental to somebody else. And so, like, even saying, like, a simple hi could change that thing. And, like, understanding the person and going back to, like, understanding people's story and making sure, like, they understand. I mean, they're not going to tell you their story, like, the first day they meet you. Like, that's what I'm saying. Just saying hi, or being, hey, you want to go and do this today, or doing simple things like that so you're able to understand other people. And the more we understand other people, the bigger the community is able to come together and be able to understand, like, everything is not what you want to do.
For sure. And you had one more comment?
I tell my son every morning when he gets out the car when I take him to school, may God keep you through your day. Have a great day. I love you. Help somebody out. Meet somebody new today, and that he's special to me. So when I say, I even ask him when he comes home, did you help somebody out today? Did you meet somebody new? And he's like, oh my God. Because he's not the most, you know, outgoing, or he's not the one that's just going to run to somebody new and say, hey. But that, I feel like that's a push in the right direction, because maybe somebody might need help one day and he might hear my voice like, oh, my mom said help somebody out today. Let me help somebody out. Right. So even though he might not do it that day, he might do it one day. So I make sure I tell him that every morning.
Wow, wow. And that's the truth. I think there's power in our words. There's power in our conversations. And the truth is like, it's a very selfless thing for you to go out of your way and do something for somebody else. I know for me, you know, I try to, you know, I've been playing football forever, you know, since I've been 10 years old. And we're forced to deal with one another. And we're all from different backgrounds. We believe in different stuff. We fight. We do all these other things, you know. But at the same time, we go out on the field and we have a common goal and we're together. And I believe it's the same thing in this room. You know, and so until we get out of our own way, and when we make ourselves available, that's the thing. You know, everybody gets caught up in this busyness and productivity that we don't make ourselves available enough to do things for people, to have this conversations. I think in order to be a friend, you have to show yourself friendly. It's a really simple thing, but it's a hard thing for a lot of people because they're not willing to take the step and actually do that and do something outside of themselves. So I'm going to ask Cindy to come back up here. We're going to make a pledge today to move forward. Thank you guys for your time.
So a special thank you to Russell, to each of our panelists here. We are so excited to work together to bring to you programming that we hope will underscore and expand the conversation we've started here together tonight. I want to thank each of you. I think going into this evening, we weren't sure what to expect. We've had lots of conversations. I know you all have had lots of conversations about many of the things we talked about tonight, but we didn't know, bringing us all together, what would happen. And I think I am as joyful as I've ever been about seeing the courage that you all showed in sharing your authentic feelings and your points of reference and your lenses. And I know we can move the needle together. And I think that's why we're here. So on behalf of each of us in our organization, just thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate the partnership with you all, and look forward to what we can do moving forward. So I ask you to think, before you leave tonight, we would like for you to sign our pledge board. And with that action, we are asking you to take what we started tonight and not forget it, and to really work in good faith through the vehicles that we hope to provide you to move that needle with us and to continue having these conversations, to working together, to bringing more kindness to our community. I know it's out there. So with you and us, we will get this done, and I hope that you will consider signing this pledge, parents and kids and everyone here, before you leave. Thank you so much.